All right, hello, and we're back with another Thoughts and Conversations with Tim, aka Luca Rito, director voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My voice is directed where it's needed to be, you know?
Where it's needed to be. Okay, so, this is Tim. Tim, introduce yourself and who you are and what you do.
Yo, so my name is Tim Udwams, aka Luca Rito, aka LKRT, aka. I wish I had more AKAs, I don't. All my names, nicknames are self-imposed. But yeah, I rap, I produce, I love dogs. And I edit videos too. Like, let's talk about that at some point.
Okay.
Like, I do that shit too.
Okay.
But yeah,
we'll get there.
That's what I do.
So I want to start off with. So I know Tim because of music, and I met him once upon a time because of music, and now he's playing music. But how did you get here? How? What's your journey like? What got you here? How do you start making music? Let's start there.
Well, I was, because I was about to ask you. It depends on what you.
No, I'm gonna
hear
go.
Is to you.
Okay, but I'm gonna go back to that. But let's just start with how you came. Like, what made you decide to start making music?
I don't know whether that's like a question I can honestly answer, because I just made music. Like, I wrote for the longest time. The only like significant hallmark I can check back to is some random girl I was trying to get back, and I was like, let me write some raps to you. But like, you know, I feel like even just coming to that conclusion of let me write some raps to you was like not a stretch based on where I was. Like, it was just some shit I did anyway. Like, my dad's a writer. Wait, what was that special line? And the expectations raising because daddy was
a poet, right?
But yeah, like, that
I'm
was
taking no advice.
That's literally me. Like, my daddy was a poet, so I just wrote.
Yeah, so just.
But yeah, coming to music was a Mr. Lou thing.
Yeah.
I was in Mr. Lou's creative team, so to speak.
Yeah.
Although I didn't know it was a creative team.
Yeah.
Before, but like, yeah, that's where I was. And like, at some point, he was just like, I have made an album with a rapper and I want to make an album with you. And it was something like I was super with since before I even started rapping. So I was just with the shits either way. But that's how technically I came into music. Like, on just putting it out basis.
And have you always written, like, minus the music aspect and seeing that your dad also was like a writer, was writing something that came to you easily?
Yeah, I wrote a novel. I wrote a novel when I was like class 5.
You wrote a novel in class 5? Didn't know how big of an achievement that is.
Man, my boy,
about words.
I don't remember. It was called something. It was some science fiction. I had this boy called Zephania, and we always had like insane ideas, and he was like more imaginative in that sense, but like I was more technical in my writing. So we kind of were like ghostwriting for each other. Like, he did the more bulk of the science fiction, like tethering out there like to look for ideas, and I did more of the consolidating it into like something someone can read. And we ended up like writing a novel, and like,
that's really,
I say
cool.
Novel, but it was probably like 60 pages.
Listen,
handwritten.
For someone in class 5, that's
yeah.
a fucking novel. Like,
yeah,
you're not trying to do like 200 pages.
What was it called, though? That was a good question.
Yeah, you need
like,
to think about that and go into the depths.
And you remember, I gave it to my dad and then he lost it. Because his library was like full of tons of books. But
yeah,
he was gassed as hell, for sure.
Oh, that is so cute, actually.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Especially how I got into rap.
Okay,
writing.
So you got into,
okay,
writing.
I feel like I wrote before that, though. Like, why did this guy come to me to, like, help him with the novel thing?
Or exactly. You were just good with
like,
but
that.
Also, grammatically, see, like, the whole time we've been chilling, like, the whole time we've been together, I'm just like, you're like a weird encyclopedia. Like, I don't really trust what I'm saying, but, like, you're always there to correct it, you know? Just, like, grammatically. But other than that, like, Yeah, so what are your influences then, like when it comes to, or rather, when you were younger, what were your influences in music? And then you can tell us about like how that like changed to what it is right now. Yeah.
Once I was a kid, my brother used to play a lot of West Coast music. So Snoop, Dr. Dre, Scott Storch by extension, 50, Exhibit, The Dog Pound. Listen, West Coast is life. Like, I wasn't even big on
that's
Tupac.
Where the bounce is, though.
Yup, yup. And that's where the funk is.
Too, yeah.
But yeah, I want to say, like, West Coast. This is like before I had like enough nuance to like have my own music taste, like just what I liked hearing from what my brothers played. And then it develops into like, I'd say class 4 or like 2 to 4, let's say like there's a Nyashinsky there somewhere, like I was big on Ogopa in general.
Mm.
But Nyashinsky mostly, to be honest, like I like how he wrote.
Mm.
Let's get ahead of myself.
Mm.
I liked, but like to where I got to where, like as soon as I got to where I could develop my own music taste, it was more of Wale, Meek Mill. I had a Meek Mill phase, I had a Wale phase, I had a J. Cole phase.
I wish I went through the Meek Mill phase. I feel like I just had him as like a features guy, but yeah. He wasn't like the main character.
No,
in my
he was amazing.
Yeah,
like Dream Chasers 2.
I feel like even like with knowledge, that's when I've realized like, cause I'm older now and I can get like what he's saying.
It's
now when I'm just like, he's mad talented, but also his voice threw me off like at the time.
Yeah,
I mean now I'm grown enough to like put all those small things aside and like look past his voice and who he was at the time, and now he's like a main character type of thing, you know?
I didn't know Meek Mill was like a shouting rapper. Like I just learned about him on the internet, because I was fucking with him the whole way, like Dreams and Nightmares before even, let me say Dream Chasers 1 and 2, I was engulfed. But I also had like my Chemical Romance phase, I had like my Blink 182 phase, Bowling for Soup, like I was a heavy rock guy.
Yeah, me too.
Let me see. What
listening to
like.
XFM at CG 12.
I never
o'clock.
Even got into XFM. Let me tell you.
Really,
because, like,
I mean,
I was so big into rock. Like I was a snob. Like I was like, ugh, I can't even listen to XFM because they're playing the same two songs.
Yeah, I had to because like there was no like a platform like as much as I knew what I liked, but I felt like there was no. I didn't have an iPod.
And
to
you're
like
leaning,
listen to that stuff, or I didn't have like at the time.
And you're so, also leaning towards being the older of the siblings.
Yeah, and phones so have just come
in. It's
your
to discover
Alcatel,
yes.
And you only have a radio.
Yeah.
Like.
So there was someone else doing that.
That for me, yeah. And at least I feel like at the time, maybe I guess after months is when I felt like okay, the playlist is a bit like just the same. But at the time, I was actually just very grateful, and like that's sometimes like the only thing that kept me up was just to listen to like
some random.
But like XFM, you know, like usually like from 10 to like midnight, or was it like 11 till midnight? There was no talking, it was just jams. It was only like during the day, but I was in school, so I never listened to it then.
Yeah, it was 1000% one of those stations where it was just lucky enough where they don't even have to pay someone to like talk through the night.
Yeah.
Just like, just play this firebug. Tracks all night and people will come.
Yeah. So now how did that like transcend to your boom, like your Ma Earls and your
Mac
and
so,
all of them? How did that come about? Was that like self-discovery, one? Or two, was it because you were looking at music beyond listening and like wanting to like make stuff? Or was it just something that you heavily related to because of family?
I think I didn't even think of myself as an artist for the longest time. Like, I still don't. I don't, like, I find that work. Sorry if you do. But yeah, like.
I am an artist. It is work.
You don't think you are, though. Like,
no,
I can't
now
do
I'm.
That because I'm an artist. Like, I.
Okay.
I got
that. It's like imposter syndrome.
No, not even that. But, like, I feel like as soon as you label what you are, like, it evades you, like that's
from
the nature,
that shit.
That's the nature of God. Like as soon as you say his name and you think that's his name, he has another one. Like Because if you had the name, like, you'd have the magic, and you can't have the magic. So, like, I don't know.
That's true.
But yeah, like, just back to artistry, like, I think, okay, J. Cole, Mick Mill. J. Cole helped me with, like, self-discovery for sure, because he was taking what I was going through at that point, and I was just, like, detaching from my family.
Yeah.
Or, like, whatever group thing or situation had.
Yeah.
So that, like, helped me get into my introspective bag. But eventually I outgrew that, and I needed something more than that. But that's even getting far ahead of myself. Like, the transition between wanting to rap and was probably Wale. Wale does a lot of wordplay.
A lot.
I'm not even trying to rhyme. But yeah, I was heavily obsessed with Wale. Wale taught me, like, a lot of double entendres and, like, well, Wale is good for that. Like, everything he says is just poetic.
Very.
Like, this nigga. But yeah, so over Wale, like, album About Nothing, Wiz Khalifa, probably. Currency. That was just because of my stoner cousins. Then I got hip to Illmatic. Oh man, I'm just. I can't necessarily. Like, I'm so engulfed in the shits that I can't even say where it came from.
Yeah.
Because at some point it was just the natural step. Like, of course you want to rap. Because that's all you listen to. Like, you know, like what I was telling you before about making beats, like, having good taste is half of the job.
Mm.
So as soon as I had my taste down, like, I knew I liked the cool shit. And as soon as I saw, I won't even lie, as soon as I saw J. Cole blow up, after I called it 10 years ago, I was like,
sour.
I trust my taste now. And I'm sure there's like 1,000 people who feel the same way.
Yeah.
They're like, ah, I can't wait for J. Cole to, like, and blow then it happens up. And you're like, oh man, my taste is validated.
That's so crazy. I feel like, you know, remember how we were talking about, like, there's like two people,
mm-hmm.
there's always like two types of people.
Yeah.
So in that context of conversation,
do you mean
like
the
Kendrick and J. Cole?
Bud versus water or what?
No, I'm just like saying
in
like,
general. Oh,
yeah,
two types
type
of
thing. There's always just gonna be two types of people that are the same but different. So it's like how we were saying with Jay Dilla
mm-hmm.
and like Madlib.
Or oh,
you
yeah,
can
for
say
sure.
Yeah, those are like those are two types of people. You're both dope. But like your music,
really
the way your influences things. Will just be always those types of two people, you know. I don't know how you like. So like Kendrick and J. Cole are the same, but like.
I wanted to do a similar thing for me and Lou, but like Lou must be J. Dilla then, because it's more
beat oriented,
drum oriented.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And me, I'm more sample oriented.
And Jada is definitely drums.
Jada
so like
is drums, Madlib samples.
So I was definitely more of Kendrick than I was J. Cole. Because even like I remember like the first person who put me to, or not like first person who put me on, like I feel like I had J. Cole, but it wasn't like significant. But then when I was in A levels and I was in year 12 and I was taking out for the first time, there's this guy called Adrian who was a year ahead of me.
Yeah.
And whenever he was in this, because he used to spend a lot of his time in the studio if he wasn't anywhere else. And then I used to come to like school early and he would always like play J. Cole and like he knew what he was doing. And then he would just be like, yeah, Phoebe, you know, these are the ones. These are like, you know, like this is the one. This is that song. So like through that, yeah. So through that, I was just like, okay, now I know like what bangs when it comes to J. Cole rather than on my own. But like I had him there for that. But I realized like when it comes to my, like the beat, like how the way I walk in life, I relate to this guy more, but both of them are the same.
I remember
same.
Me and Sichangi's sister.
Yeah.
Essie,
yeah.
Used to be like during preps. Like,
were you always arguing?
I have the book still, like, where we're like, like, she's written in the back, if a tree falls in the forest, like, I don't know. You know the Kendrick line?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, since we cool, was like, look.
Nah, shout out to Essie.
Like,
gang. Thank you for standing up for Kendrick, Essie. This is a shout out to you.
Fuck me, that was amazing.
Cool, but
yeah, there's always. But yeah. Wale, I feel like was another pillar. Like while people like focus on Kendrick and J. Cole, there's always like a Wale, Big Crit, who are like the same level, but just leaned more on the lyrics than on the gimmicks, I guess. And as much as like Kendrick and J. Cole don't lean on the gimmicks, like they have label situations where they don't even have to.
Yeah.
Wale was dropped by his label. Like the only gimmicks he can lean to is being signed by Jay-Z or something. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like he just had to lean on his word, and I respected that too. Like,
and his collaborations of people, yeah.
Like there's just people who had to like solely rely on talent, and I had to like appreciate that too. Like it also gave me like a spectrum for whatever.
Dope.
There's also this kind of niche.
Yeah, that's interesting. So like, but like, what got you to like actually like seeing that those are your influences?
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that you've definitely been a fan of the genre that you're a part of now. But also beyond that. So what got you to like, hey, let me rap? Like,
literally, I was doing it either way. Like, I'd listen to a song and I'd be like, let me look for the instrumental and go off on this.
Oh.
And I'd send Lou, because Lou was producing. Lou has always been my boy. He's always trusted my ear. He's always coming to me for his beats. Like,
yeah.
And it's always progression, the whole thing. Cool. But every time I'd like, I'm smoking up in my room, I'm like, ugh. This recross spit is fire, let me spit it. I write a whole verse, and I didn't even write like structured. I was just like writing in prose.
Yeah.
That's what I'm used to. But I just send him the whole thing, and you've listened to Outlet. You're like, you're one of the few people I know who like fucks with Outlet. And
yeah,
a song
definitely.
Called In the Words of LKRT.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first few things where I was like, oh, Luther like actually fucks with what I'm writing, like to the extent where he'll even like use my raps
for his own tape. Yeah.
But like at that point it was like just a situation where we just need to get together to like do the shits. But like what needed to be done needed to be done. Like, but at that time, okay, so what happened was interesting, because like when I came back home, Lou had just moved to Kilimani or to Kile.
When he came back home from,
and he was like, sorry?
When you came back home from?
Oh, from the UK.
Okay. What were you doing there?
I was doing my undergraduate. That's like my day job. I don't like talking about. Okay, I don't not like.
I know you don't like talking about. It's for this context of like where you came back from. You know.
Don't like talking about it. It's just that I was so used to living two separate lives, and
it's the side trick.
Just now, consolidating my two wives, so to speak.
Okay.
So it's weird even talking to the main about like the side, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got back from UK. I was doing chemical engineering, the whole nine. And I was done with that shit. Came back home, and Lou just moved to my place. Fresh off my girlfriend, just
no,
fresh
speak
off a
your
heartbreak.
Shit. Yeah.
And we're chilling at home smoking, and I was just like, you know, the only thing consistent. Okay, let me even like preface this with like, while I'm writing and sending shit to Lou, like, oh man, I can't wait till you get back home. And I have skipped over so much, and I have to go back. Let me just go back for the sake of clarity. Me and Lou met in Zomo's cube in high school, in Sunshine, that is. In Form 1, we didn't used to go for entertainment. We used to go to Zomo's cube, which is like close enough to the dining hall where you can hear the music, but you're not inside. Because we didn't fuck with movies. Like, I just wanted to hear, listen to music. So we go to Zomo's cube, freestyle, we meet Lou there. Then he knew I rapped. And that's how like our relationship with like sending each other shit was. So fast forward, I'm like, okay, like I've sent enough. We fucked with each other for the longest time. Ukora home, the whole thing. I'm like, I'm sending him raps. He's fucking with them. We're like, I can't wait till I get home so we can lock in and do some shit.
Like,
you know what we should do? We should do a tape called Quiz Tapes. Because me and Lou, like, we talk the same. Like, we are around the same people, so we know what
same
Quiz
WhatsApp
is.
Group.
So same slang too. Like, and when Quiz came in, like, we're like so enthusiastic about like studying something along those lines. And we're weed heads, so to speak, and you know, I've always appreciated a good weed album, like Bush by Snoop, Mac and Dev Go to High School by Snoop and Wiz, How High the soundtrack, Method Man and Redman, like Currency, Wiz Khalifa, period, like all the discography. Like, I've always appreciated a good, I got 5 on it. Like, there's a lot of very good, because I got high, there's a lot of good weed songs out there, and they're always iconic, and
yeah.
I just wanted to contribute to this
to that
conversation.
So
talking to Lou about it, come home, he's moved to my place, and it's a point where the only thing consistent in my life, I'm unemployed, I finished my degree, I don't have a girlfriend, so to speak. Like, I'm just freshly off a breakup.
Wait.
The only consistent thing in my life is just Lou passing by my place to leave his bike on his way to work.
Music and weed.
Yeah, so I was like, the only thing consistent in my life is weed, so that's the only thing I can drop about. So
music and weed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I can drop about that. Can we pause?
Yeah, wait, okay. we'll be back. Let's take a break. And we'll be back after.
New messages.
Okay, wait. We'll be.
When the beast don't.
Beast don't.
When the beast go.
Beast don't.
I put the powder in the bisco.
Bisco.
Niggas wanna know it that I missed
do,
though.
Do, 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 do.
And you be on the back of bill.
Back of bill.
Niggas better know you that I keep it real.
Keep it real.
It's Griselda in his fucking piece. Niggas better know that
I'm the. Do, 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 do.
Do, do, do. Don't, don't. Hey, yo!
Anyway, we're back.
We're back.
Because we're trying to go take a walk soon.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a walk soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, as Lucorito ponders on his life choices right now, I want to take you back to how you got into it, and it was Mr. Lou and you guys staying together. You sent Mr. Lou your first beat, and that's how you got into music. And how can you say your journey has been so far since you got into it? Like, how has it been? What do you wish it could be? How has the reception been to your music? Do you feel like it could be better? Do you feel like it's not what you expected? Do you feel like more people listened even like beyond what you expected? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Speak to me.
Yeah, so we make the music. That's 2018. And then we have like 2019, I guess. 2018, we make the music, and we're like at Lava Latte. Shout out Lava Latte, shout out Middle East. They just give us a platform where we can get our shit off. And I didn't even have a song out, but I was there performing weekly. And just like
experimenting. That was your first
on songs, yeah.
That was your first performance.
Yeah. Okay, not really. My first performance was Chini Amti with Espresso. This is like top of 2019. Okay. I want to say.
Yeah.
Oh shit! So okay, so I probably make ghost tapes around 2019. Chilling at home, smoking. Like as soon as I make the first song, we have a Chini Amti like a week before and later, and Espresso performing, and I have to open, or I'm opening rather. And it's dope as hell. You know, and I just have a platform to like get my shit off. In general, and like it's cool as hell, and I just get a platform to like try out my songs, so that's cool as hell. But yeah, that grows into like us making the album and like just performing in general. Like even Lou's DJ sets were giving us feedback on the type of songs to make. Like Shasha Ruka Fence, which is the third song of the album, it was after Africa Nouveau, where Kina Lou had a set and they knew what gets a certain type of reaction.
Cool.
And yeah, we were like, let's make our version of that, because we won't like meet them there. We are like knowledge ass niggas. Like,
yeah.
Not knowledge ufahamu.
Yeah, it's knowledge. Like,
but
the
knowledge the producer of. But like, yeah, so like we had to like find our middle ground, and like just performance gives you that feedback. Well, but like moving forward, like 2019, that happens. I go to uni for my masters at the end of 2019, and Ghost Tips comes out this year, and I'd say like in between it was fire as hell. Like even the reception while performing, because it was like motherfuckers coming up to you like, oh man, where can I find this song, and blah, 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 blah. And it's not even a song you're done with, it's not even so you're sure will come out sounding the same. But it's reassuring as hell nonetheless, although like I'm kind of detached, I will say, from like feedback I get from music fans in general, because
my creative process is independent of them, and I cannot let it impede, although I can let it can feedback.
I get that.
But I digress. Like, just having that reassurance of motherfuckers just coming up to you and like noticing what you're doing when you're just like literally. Let me preface this with before I finish that point. Until then, I only wrote, like I said, in prose. So now I have to like structure my songs to like 16s and the hook, or 8s, or whatever the format might be. Like, you have to like write in bars. And I still don't up to today, because it just gives me a more unique flow, like where I write the whole shit in prose, and then while recording, I tailor it to the beat. So I have all the thoughts down, and then I can ad lib in between or whatever, and like find the final verse. But like that gives me my process entirely. Just in recording good tips, it gives me my process, and just and the feedback from shows gives you like makes you realize what you're selling. You know, like what's unique about you, so you can lean on your strengths more. And that's cool as hell too. And yo, and just reception from like people who fuck with you, especially artists, like gives you validation. Like, you know, like you're like, this person has taken time to invest in their craft, and they notice my investment.
Yeah, that's
even
why
if I think it's like little, as it is, like some motherfuckers, like, you know, I know the work you've put in, because you know, like, it's not like the actual rapping aspect of it is the work I put in. Like, even the novel I wrote in the last 5 was part of the groundwork.
And that's why I literally like tell people that as much as you're an artist or you're an individual and you want, and as an artist, not as an any other like
random individual.
Yeah, I just feel like you want a life, but like low key, we bank on the validation of people, you know, like the reception towards your work is what keeps you going, you know. You low-key need that validation to like, because it's a lot of vulnerability that goes into it, you know, and that's you being exposed to the open, to people, to strangers, you know, about certain things that you go through. And most of us are not trying to impose our emotions on any other person. That's why we low-key work on the validation. There's some people who are able to express that very like vocally, and there are people who want to downplay and say that it doesn't matter. But low-key, as an artist, validation really is, it goes hand in hand with your artwork, you know. That's the reason for being, you know. As much as it's all on your own, when that one person tells you it's fucking dope, the ammo you go back in, like the ammo you get and go back into when you're creating the next piece is like even better. It's more, you know, it's like there's just, you're more assured, there's more assurance about what you're doing and the direction you're going, because a lot of the time it's like more like, you know, you're just really questioning and you don't know where you are in this like playing field. But like that validation is like, I'm on the right path, you know. I don't know what road I'm taking, but I know I'm gonna get there. I don't know what route I'm taking, but I know I'm getting there, you know. It's like, for example, if we took a trip, right, and we went to your home, remember, we stopped to ask someone, we knew we were on the right path, we knew we were, but then it's like you kind of remember, we don't know where we are, but we had to ask somebody, are we going to the right place? And like there was someone who stopped and was like, you know, you're kind of like in the area, but you need to go back, you know, and then when you turn right, you're gonna get there, you know. So we go back and we turn right there, and that's like the validation, you know. We already knew though that we were in the right place,
we just need the right alignment.
exactly. And every artist needs it. But I get what you're saying. I was gonna ask you something, and like your experience performing, how has that been like so far when it comes to performing? You feel like you're much more comfortable than you expected yourself to be, or is it challenging because of the spaces that you've been in? Has space interfered with that, or like doesn't interfere, and like the reception has made you feel like you're getting better and you're growing, you know what to work on? I don't know. How's your
Well, let me say, like, I've been a drummer first ass nigga since class 5.
Okay.
So performance has always been like just whatever. Like,
not whatever, like, it obviously took
it's
some
been, like,
time
a part
to get
of
into
your...
that, but, like, it was part of my character development, so to speak, like, just, I knew it came with it, like, I always knew music came with the performance aspect of it, and it's always been something that I've been conscious of, and... But I didn't know it was what would pull me the most, because right now, like, I don't even care about, like, fuck producing and fuck rapping. Like, I want to perform more than anything. Like, and I think even, like, just getting introduced to rap, like, through, like, having performed before, even having any piece of music out, it kind of spoiled me to the extent, like, I, like, that feedback, like you say, that feedback is more instant. And it's harder to feign, because, like, I'm right in your face. You can't just DM me and say, hey, that's a nice one, G. And then I believe you. Like, I'm there seeing you react in real time. If you're not feeling it, you know, you won't even notice the music. It'll just be background music. And you'll be in your conversation. Or whatever the case may be. But, like, if you feel it, like, you feel it. And I don't know, like, there's no lying. Like, it's a more genuine type of validation. And I just have grown to appreciate it. Like, I want to perform more. Like, I don't know, like, the nerves aspect of it, I got over at some point, just building up from drama and music festivals and the whole nine. But also just from, like, I wasn't, like, the super active in the plays or whatever the hell I was in, but, like, just seeing it, and that's my boy there performing, who's the lead singer, who's singing for 1 hour straight. Like, it's more accessible, and it's, but, like, now being in the forefront and, like, even performing without Lou, who's been my DJ for the most part, like, has this open up new facets of my personality, even in my writing. Like, I want songs that will smash more, like, that will have better reception live. Or I just want avenues to connect to people live, because my thing is, or my validation is just someone relating to what I'm saying. And if I can, and there's no better way, like, to find, like, there's no better way than to find, see that life, like, someone relating to you in real life and be like, oh, look, what it, where can I find your music? It is, like, literally what's up.
The dopamine. So, having seen where you started, where you are, and kind of also what, now I need to know where you're going type of thing. So, like, what do you see for yourself in the future? Like, what is it that you're working towards? What are you trying... Yeah, like, what is... How are you trying to move forward from all the things that you've discovered about yourself and all that you've learned about yourself and all that? What do you see for yourself in the future? What is it? Tell me.
I listen to, like, super... I want to say, like, I want my raps to align with my ethics. And I listen to, like, rappers who do that, like Al Sweatshirt and Navy Blue, or people know him as Sage El Sasa. Like, these are people who, like, have found a niche where they can rap their life. And, like, it's a documentary. Like, this podcast is for you, like.
Yeah.
And I want to make my raps to that extent where, like...
But do you want to do more than rap? Do you... Of course, I know you produce. Are you planning to produce more, and not only for you, but are you planning to do that for other people, or I don't know.
No, even getting there, I just want to align with my vision first, like, because I'm producing either way, like, whether shit, like, makes sense or not, like, that's just my outlet now. So as long as it aligns with my, what I'm, with my life truth, like, the truest self I can be, then...
That's
fuck
what
it.
It is.
I'm producing then.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm still producing either way, but, like, intentionally. Like, the intention has to align with my where I want to go.
I want to ask, like, what then also led you to produce? Like, what made you be like, hey...
Honestly.
Let me just do this shit for myself, because, like I've told you, I've downloaded Fruit Loops before, and I got fed up after a minute. Like, not a minute, but, like...
After
a short minute compared to everyone else. And then I've downloaded Ableton, and Ableton is not, like, friendly, you know. So what has, like,
to me,
I'm not talking about, like, so don't come for me, y'all producers, like, Mr. Lou, don't come for us. But, like, what led you to just be like, hey, let me try this thing on my own, like,
honestly, because I've seen Lou try it from scratch, like from doing FL to doing Ableton and mastering both.
Yeah.
And also getting tired of waiting for producers. Like, producers are boring. Although now I'm a producer, now I'm like hating on rappers.
Yeah.
And Lou and Revamp will like attest to that. Like, producers are boring too. Like,
he's coming,
like even in making like Grease tips, like you have to wait for a producer to like mix your thing. Like, I just want to do everything. Mac Miller said the more you do, the less you wait.
That's true though. There's a lot of waiting games when you have to rely on someone to do something for you when you can do it on yourself and right now.
And also my idols all produce. Like Al Sweatshirt produces for himself. Mac Miller produces for himself. J. Cole produces for himself. Fucking, I don't know who else I've looked up to over the time who produces for themselves.
So it's just inevitable. So through
And as a rapper, like it just helps you like actualize your vision better. Like my nigga, like I'm not trying to wait for the producer to like catch where, like sometimes they're not even in the same space, like let me just even to put the off key tune down.
And mentality down. Especially, like you're not hearing the same shit, we all have different ears, you know?
Yeah, like let me put the bad unmixed track down and then my nigga will like know how to streamline it to sound technically good. But like, let me just be enough to like lay the idea down. And that was like my whole idea going into producing until I realized Lou won't help me with shit and will just be like, that's nice, those drums are nice. And then like I had to get good at producing. But like that was like literally just my end. Like I was just, I'm an impatient motherfucker and I just couldn't wait.
Okay, cool. So now like seeing that you produce your own shit, seeing as that you rap and seeing that you have a master's and a degree in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So not that there's any pressure, but like moving forward, what do you see for yourself? Like, what are you trying to accomplish this year? Is it more, I don't know, what are you trying to accomplish like this year? Like what, or not rather like what are you trying to accomplish, but what are you trying to do?
What am I
with all of that?
What's my sight at?
Exactly.
I think it's just like consolidating all those facets of creation. Like, because I want to just own engineering in the same way I've owned rapping.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I can rap in my own style. I don't rap like J. Cole or Wale or any of the other influences I mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do the same for engineering and I want to do the same for rapping and I want to like bring all those two or three fields, like chemical, environmental engineering, sound engineering, I guess, so to speak. I want to bring them all together and see what comes of it, whether it's like curating a space where some shit can happen or just bringing awareness to some shit. I am still finding my purpose, but like my goal is to just consolidate all those three things
together.
Yeah.
Okay, so away from like the music stuff, like with engineering, like what's the goal? Yeah, because like I don't want to mix the two, because I've put the two together and you put the two together, but we've talked more about the music. But like with engineering, what do you see for yourself, like with the chemical and environmental engineering? If I'm not wrong, it's chemical and
environmental.
Environmental.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So like what do you see yourself doing in those spaces? Not the music aspect though.
I feel like engineering is so pigeonholed, like such that like they only like leave impactful like positions for motherfuckers who are old. But I'm just trying to find my space where I can put my foot down and then I'll know. Like at the moment my idea is just like get my foot into the industry somehow, you know? And then after that, I'll know how to like bring in the raps to the chemical engineering world. Or not even necessarily that, but just the Lucorito finesse. Because like it's something I've probably mentioned to a few of my friends. Like I like bringing my finesse to something like skateboarding. Like I want to bring my thing into it. Like, and I've just not figured out how to do it yet. The Lucorito into engineering. But that's my next step for sure. Like just figuring out how to like be in an engineering. I just need to enter the room first and then know what the
okay cool. But then why did you study these things? Like what was the purpose? What were you trying to fix? Because you know like you're there to like
literally I was just smart at chemistry.
You're a chemistry dude. No one, I told you you're a geek, man. Like you
literally I'm not.
You are a geek. Like you are like
not from trying though.
Low key.
Not from trying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, low key, you're not high key a geek.
Yeah, I'm not like trying to like be an engineer. Like I'm just doing my thing. And I happen to like get into these spaces.
And you're
and
able
I want to keep, I want to keep the same
them.
Energy. Like, I just want to, like, do my thing and happen to stumble on some cool shit. Like, that's when I feel the happiest. I don't feel like, I don't want to control the situation.
But you want to contribute to the situation.
Yeah, and I want to bring my finesse.
Okay, I see that now. Okay. We've made full circle with that conversation, and I'm happy though.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is there anything else you want to add, like, or anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Because I want to do this more. That's all I have to add.
Oh, like with the music shit and engineering shit?
No, with this podcast shit too. Listen, I get bored easily, like, and I just want to take up all the space. Like, I was that type of nigga who played hockey, basketball, football, volleyball, and I just get bored.
But so you need something new to just keep you on your toes?
I just need something to humble me.
Yeah, humble you.
Yeah, because I get, like, easily caught in. Like, I already think I'm better than you.
Dead. Don't even, like, he's laughing, but it's true, man. His ego is, like, sickening.
I just need, you must know
that we're talking to Leo.
Oh, please.
And, like, they love it when we stroke their ego.
No, I just make my own strokes.
Nah, they love it when
I stroke it myself.
Ego. Fuck that shit. They depend on us to stroke their ego even. Otherwise, yours is not enough.
Real Leo's no. We stroke our own shit.
We stroke our own. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Okay, fine then. But the conversation's been great. We know where you're coming from.
She's a Scorpio, obviously. That is it.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay, that's Magda saying hi. I hope you can hear her. Yeah. It's gonna be on, like, Spotify, iTunes, and
shout
all
out
of
Magda.
That shit. Shout out Magda. That's Magda, my sister.
That's the perfect outro, to be
honest. That is a perfect outro, and Ariana's even come to say bye. Like, that's my dog.
Sneakless.
Say something
for the fans.
Nah, she's like, no, bitch. Oh, what? She low-key actually was ready to say something. Nah, she's just excited. Okay, fine, let's just wrap this up.
All dogs go to heaven.
No. So, as we wrap this up, thanks for listening. That was Tim, aka Lucorito, aka
Tim with two M's.
Tim with two M's. Let people know where to find you or your shit so that we can call it a day.
Lucorito everywhere, but the first O is an X. So Lucrito.
There you go. That's anything else?
On everything. Shout out Expresso.
And what is on everything? Music platforms. And IG, find him.
Listen.
And Twitter.
There's not 15 motherfuckers called Lucorito.
He talks
stop
a lot of
like
shit.
Just find me. You know the vibes. You know the vibes.
You know the vibes. Okay, guys. Yeah. Now you're done. Okay, let me do my outro. Jesus. Thanks for listening. That's a conversation. And until next time, this has been a really nice episode. That's a glimpse of Lucrator's life. This is not everything. Yeah, he has a lot to share. He knows a lot too. But yeah, check out his shit. I'm glad I got to know your story also this way, because we've talked, but it's not been like this. Ariana is barking.
There's
some birds. I guess, like, yeah, it's time to call it a wrap. So yeah, until next the time. Say bye.
Yo, thank you for having me. This was lit as hell. Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.